Good evening, Aboisai. Good evening, everybody. We'll be starting tonight, Siman Kuf Nun, which is Hilchos Beis HaKnesses, and we'll be learning tonight, Mitzvah Hashem, amongst the halachas that we'll be learning, we'll be discussing when is two shuls meant to split. Hot topic. When is a shul meant to split into two? When are you meant to? When are you not meant to? Hot topic. We'll be discussing about the height of a shul. How high is that shul meant to be? Is it going to be fairly high, fairly low? We'll be discussing that. And we'll be discussing about the shul fees, a tense topic as well. Shul fees. Before that, however, I'd like to share with you an interesting chazanish. Chazanish got tshuva that he actually writes in two different places in Igas Chazanish. I must tell you that sort of my late discoveries, the Igas Chazanish, Letters of the Heilig Chazanish, it's three volumes which have been now printed, which is now printed in two volumes, Igas Chazanish. And this is the letters the Chazanish wrote. It's actually only a fraction of the letters that he wrote, but they're published. And there's some fascinating letters there, Igas Chazanish. And in one of the, it's actually two letters, in two different places, but the idea, he's asked by somebody that their openings must be in the 1930s, maybe 1940s, that they open up new kehillas, new cities, new settlements in Eretz Yisrael. I don't know if it literally means new settlements, but certainly new Amish Yidden settling into various places. And they asked the Chazon Ish for some hadrocha. We've got limited resources, we've got limited money. What is the list of priorities we need to spend money on? And the various options are, shul is the first thing we need to do, is our own independent shul. Could be there's a non-fum shul around already, could be. But certainly not Shema Shabbos. Shul is a shchita. Shchita, is that more important? You need to have a local shchita, people can't access meat. Mikvah Tahari speaks about a rav. Maybe you need a rav. Cost a lot of money, a rav. Or maybe a cheder. What are the list of priorities, people, young children? What is the list of priorities? Beis HaKnesses, mikvah, shchita, rav, Talmud Torah. List of priorities. So what would you guess is the first one? Shul. First one. Mikvah Tahari. Definitely first one. 100%. Talmud Torah. Oh, Talmud Torah, first one. Shchita, yeah, people can't have meat. So you're saying, unless it's in the 9 days, they'll be all right. Okay, so it's a fascinating Chazon Ish. Mamash fascinating. It's one of those that doesn't explain in great detail where he comes from. Pardon? No, he doesn't. There is a tshuva in Reb Moshe that speaks about it. Yeah, but Chazon Ish doesn't. Chazon Ish says, the first and foremost thing that needs to be put in place is actually a cheder. That's what he says. First thing to place is a cheder. First thing. Second most important after that. Yeah. Second most important thing is a rav. Second most important is a rav. Third most important is a shchita. He said people can't eat meat. It's going to be bitter. It's no good. He goes in the mikveh. And finally, the last of all, is a shul.
Why is it mikvah before shchita? Because it's easier to get meat in from elsewhere than it is from.
I imagine that's what it is. I imagine they're talking about the scenario that traveling 3 hours you can access whatever. If you travel back to Yerushalayim, you'll be able to get. There's going to be a mikvah there, there's shchita there as well. I think that it's not that you can't have at all. It's just difficult to access the shchita. It's difficult to access those facilities. But, right, I imagine that's what he's talking about. Very, very interesting, very, very interesting. Shuv the Ikes Chazon Ish. Al Kulam, he says, the most important is the Talmud Torah. Rav, second most important. If you don't have a Rav, things are going to go after a few years, things are going to go into the right direction. Very interesting. Really, really fascinating. Shuv in Ikes Chazon Ish. So, having said that, it's maybe a not the perfect start for this Simon, but I still felt I want to share. Because here we're talking about Hilchos Beis HaKnesses, the importance of actually building a shul. We know that historically Yidden were moisa nefesh mamash. They were moisa nefesh, were moisa all their money and all their koiches and energy to build shuls. And this really what we're talking about over here is about the importance and the and the importance and the chshivas of opening a shul. So let us see what Allah has asked in Kuf Nun. Binyan based on Knesset building of shul v'shia gavoya. The shul needs to be high. Okay, koifin bnei ha'ir ze'ezeh. This is halacha that koifin bnei ha'ir. People can force one another. She can be koif, you can force each other. Livnois besa knesses, to build a shul. Not only that, but also liknois laim toira nevi'im muksuvim. Also to buy themselves toira nevi'im muksuvim. Says the Mishnah Berurah Sifkot Aleph Koifin Zelosh Rambam Hilchos Tefillah Perek Yud Aleph. Kol Makom Sheyesh Bo Asara Mi'Yisrael. Every place where there's 10 Yidden, where there's a minyan, Tzorich Lahachi Lo Bais Sheyikonsu Bo LeTefillah. If there's 10 male adults living in a place, it's an obligation to actually form and create and arrange and establish a shul. Bechol Eis Tefillah, there should be a shul there available for Shachas Mincha Ma'ariv, weekdays and Shabbos Yom Tovim. Who Makom Zeh Nikra Beis HaKnes, in a place like that, the people are gathering to daven. It's called the Beis HaKnesses. Again, as a Knesses comes from the notion to gather. Even if there's a minority, they've got only a few people. The minority says we need to build a shul. The majority says we don't need a shul. It's quite all right. We'll be fine without. The minority can force the majority to, yes, we need to build a shul. Live noise. Sivkot and Beis. Okay, that's going to be a mission we're going to discuss in a minute. Before we move on to Sivkot and Beis, there is an interesting bialoch on the side of here who discusses, what about Beis HaMedosh? What about Beis HaMedosh? Is there an obligation to build a Beis HaMedosh as well? Remember, in previous generations, there was a Beis HaKnesses, which was meant purely for davening. You can't really learn in a Beis HaKnesses. It's not really meant for learning. It's purely for davening. Many of the old shuls are not really, they are considered Beis HaKnesses. Beis HaKnesses, as we know, is potter for mezuzah. It's not a place that you hang around. It's potter for mezuzah. It's actually just, you come into daven, you go out again. Mikah din. So what about a Beis HaMedrash? What about if there is a shul present, but there is nowhere that people can really learn? Of course, they can learn at home, but there's no Beis HaMedrash in that particular place. Is an obligation to create, build, and establish a Beis HaMedrash where Yidden can learn or not? Obligation, koifin zezeh, can you impose one another to create a Beis HaMedrash if there is with your shul standing or not? Rabbi Kagan, your opinion in this matter. Can you not?
Look at
Yehuda,
when to
so, very interesting. Pardon? Like a Talmud Torah. I believe it's a big chiddush which is not explicit in the poskim rishonim. The bialocha on the side says, very, very similar to Rabbi Kagan's words, that yes, indeed. He said, you certainly can. And he said that the raya for that will be, if there's an obligation, if you're allowed to be koifer, to impose one another, to get funds for Torah, Nevi'im, Uksuvim, what's the point of having Torah, Nevi'im, Uksuvim if nobody's going to use it? Says the bialocha must be that if there's an obligation to get Torah Nevi'im Uksuvim, it's not just for learning purpose, it's also for learning purposes. Well, if you need a Beis HaMedrash for that. So the Bialocha is firmly of the opinion that if Koifin Zeh, you're allowed to impose one another for building of a shul, building and getting Torah Nevi'im Uksuvim, then even more so, you can impose one another to build a Beis HaMedrash. Yeah.
If you've already got a Beis HaMedrash, but no Beis HaMedrash, you can double it.
Absolutely correct.
Is there
yeah.
any longer any chiyuv to build by?
Probably not. You're right. So probably not. Yeah, he speaks about that. Probably not.
So if you got limited funds, it would make a lot more sense to build a base.
Probably. Yeah, I agree. Probably. Yeah. Right. Now, the Bialoch and Sifkot Yud Beis says the following. Live noise to build. Build of here literally means to create and shul. Live noise if they don't have financial, they're not financially strong enough and stable enough to actually build a shul, then mukhiyavno kuponim lisko, then they have to rent. Mokim yuchalit fila. If they can't actually build a shul, they're gonna have to rent a shul. The Kosva Poiskim says to the Poiskim, now what is the most fair and most appropriate way to fix shul fees? What's fair? The richer you are, more. Yeah, the richer you are, the more you pay. Richer you are, the more you pay. Somebody who's got strong bank accounts and a strong income, he has to pay more. Does everybody agree to that? What about big family, small family? Family of 16 kids pays the same amount than the old almond, the old widow. Pardon? According to how many people there are in the family or the finifoshes? Yeah, size of family taken into consideration or not? It would be fair. Says the Mishmur, V'kotsu ha-poiskin, V'vina beis ha-knes, goyvin lifi momen l'chudo. No, fixed fee. Fixed fee. Mishmur says, fixed fee. However, who v'schirz beis ha-knes, an interesting svara, which to be honest, I can't fully explain. When it comes to renting, if it's buying a shul is buying, shul is being bought, everybody pays the same amount. Everybody pays the same amount. However, if it's not about buying a shul, it's renting a shul. If it's renting a shul, then the halach is different. Then, chetzel if imamen v'chetzel if anoshes. You will take into consideration a fixed fee, but also, besides the fixed fee, it's also going to be into consideration how many people are in the family. Renting, different cheshbon than if it's paying the mortgage.
Makes sense.
Why is that?
Because when Klal Yisrael went to Eretz Yisrael and they cast lots, then they worked out the more people there were, the bigger portion they got, the few people there were, the smaller portion. But at the end of the day, everyone got their chelek. And so whatever happened to each shevet, that's what the land had. So if you're going to go into building a Beit Knesses, then every family gets their chelek and they pay it, and that makes sense.
Good svara.
All the dairies, no matter how many children and grandchildren, you've always got your chelek in the shul. But if you're renting it and you're not going to have anything with the dairies, then if you've got 17 people in your family, you need a lot of seats, then it makes sense. You pay a bit more because...
Good svara. Very nice svara. Very nice svara. Yeah, very nice svara. Absolutely, very nice. Kosa Morgan Avom, Soev Simon Kuf Nun Dal B'Shem HaRivosh. HaMa'akev Livnois Beis HaKnesses, somebody stopping the building of a shul. HaFilu Yesh Beis HaKnesses Acheres B'Yeh, although there is already a shul in town, but people are stopping the building and the creation of a second shul, Meneo Rabbi Melassus Mitzvah is stopping Yidin from making a mitzvah. Oh, so now, we're now going on to a second level. Mishnah Berurah says, not only there's a mitzvah of building an initial shul, no, well now, there is already a shul, but now there's a need to create another shul. Somebody who's stopping that is doing an avlam. He's doing a bad thing. There is an inyan, there is a mitzvah, there is chshivas in creating another shul. Hold on. I can't stop here because it's getting too hot. The masik sham, and in his maskana is, deyma beis haknes mechila oysam oz adrebe hasum leporeid. He said it's very great to have a second shul. It's beautiful. It's amazing to have a second shul. Anybody's supporting that is doing a great thing. However, if the second shul, Mechila, is going to destroy the former, he's going to damage the former, Asurum Leipoit, they're not allowed to split. So the Lashon is not always going to happen. The answer is that Lashon Mishnah Berurah is Beis HaKnesses Mechila Oysam. Mechila Lashon Kiloyin. It's destroying it. So I imagine...
It doesn't say weakness, it's destroying.
Oh, very good. I agree with you, Diuk Rabbi Yossel, that if it's about damaging, there's weakening and damaging and making a huge damage. If it's weakening the first shul, they're losing a few members, they're losing a few regulars, it's fine. However, if it comes on the cheshbon that the first shul is now vulnerable, he's losing a core membership, he's losing that, then it's not a mitzvah. Then it's asur lepor, they're not allowed to split. Well, what do you think about that? Interesting, no? It's interesting. I think that if it just loses a certain percentage of membership, that, as you're saying, that's natural. It's inevitable. That's fine. That's okay. Yeah. Pardon? He goes a bit into that, and he says, "Well, I'm a tshuva in Rad Baz. Chelik Gimel Tzimun Tov. Ein Beit Sheich Bedinim Elu." There is a tshuva in Rad Baz that has extensive discussion about this. Of a Sof Dvor of Kosav, and at the end he says as follows: "Kol ze bizman shekulam leiv echad hu shekiluson oy leyofe." It's great when Yidden are davening together and they are davening to the Ribbono Shel Olam together with one heart. That is beautiful. Avol, but im cholak libam, if their heart are already separate, Yosef Toivu Shispalelu Kol Kas Bifnei Atzma. If there is, they don't feel so comfortable with each other, it's really better to split. I'm not genuinely holding that it's a good thing to split. It's not great to split. People should learn to get along. People should learn to daven to Ribono Shel Olam together. That's the default position. But if it cannot possible, if there's ongoing machlokes going on, then it's better ready to split and to two separate minonim, and they should be in peace that way rather than being machlokes on the one roof. So the default position is, again, just to recap, if there is one, to build one shul is absolute, extremely essential and important. One shul, kofin zeze. A second shul, in principle also, it's good to have a second shul, it's fine. Now, it depends, however, if the second shul is going to weaken the first, I shouldn't say weaken, if it destroys and it damages significantly the first shul, better not. Then don't do that. And ideally, if it's possible, people should learn how to get on with another and to daven to Ribono Shel Olam together. That's ideally. He doesn't say it here, but he probably, the Oivam Hadas Melech, it's always beautiful. The bigger the shul is, the more beautiful it is. Ideally, people should try to get on together. Here, if there is already some tension and some misunderstandings and some different malchim, then it's already, instead of having tension in shul, better ready to split and to have two separate minyanim. That's what he says. You know, I had once an interesting conversation with somebody. Years ago, there was a certain kehila elsewhere that for many, many generations, for mamash many years, there was only one shul there. One shul and a bit of a different type of shul. Two shuls, two shuls, and for many years. And somebody told me that this shul, this kehila, look at what backward kehila it is. It's not moving on. Look at the other thriving and flourishing communities throughout Europe. New shuls, every Monday and Thursday opening new shuls, new minyanim. What a flourishing kehila it is, that the whole time they're opening new minyanim. That was a statement of this yid. So look at this backward shul over there. It's only two shuls, same two shuls for the last 50 years. Nothing is developing, nothing is emerging, nothing is moving on, no progress. Look at that shul, as opposed to this other community in a different part of Europe. That's flourishing the whole time, new minyanim, new shuls, everything emerging. And then I was thinking, I didn't say it, but I was thinking that it's not, the statement per se is not, it's not accurate. Because you don't define the beauty of a kehila and the... You don't define the beauty... I mean, what do you think about this statement?
People are very big on
kishpachos. Yeah. Yeah. Without... It's just that you don't define the aslach of a community by how many minyanim there are. Because ideally, sometimes it's necessary, and sometimes it's beautiful, and sometimes it's amazing. And as the Mishnah Berurah starts off, it's a mitzvah sometimes to split. It really is. It's sometimes really a necessity. But it's not always a necessity. On the contrary, one could argue the fact that there's a shul for 100 years, and everybody's davening there without machlokes, that itself, and all the new members manage to just integrate in that shul, that itself is the greatest shvach. I want to hear both starting, but I just feel it's important to point that out as well. What do you think about this? Yes, so that will not be discussed over here. Some of the halachas that are mentioned, there is other areas of halacha, for instance, there is other areas, about shchita, there is halachas in your idea about how important shchita is. And so I suppose it's about prioritizing between those obligations there too. They don't define the obligations, the priorities. Okay, see base. Ein boinim beis haknesset la begovo shel ir. A shul needs to be in a high place. Ein boinim beis haknesset, don't build a shul at a begovo shel ir, it needs to be high. Mishnebosef Kotten Dalet, um, Sifkot Dalas is Begomo Shalir. Shenema Beroy Shemiois Tikro. It is a halacha that the shul needs to be on a high place. It needs to be on a high place. Continues the Shulchan Aruch. Who magbin oisoy ad she govoya mikol bot yair shemishtam shemsham. The shul not only needs to be on a high place, but he needs to be on a higher place than all the other houses that are commonly used in that particular city. He needs to be on a high place. If you're building a shul, don't do it in the lower part of the city. Do it on a high part of the city. That's where it's not about the high place of the city. That's another shaila. He said the actual building of the shul needs to be high. It needs to be a tall building. And he says it's not about the height of the city. That's a different shaila which I want to address. But it's talking about the actual building of the shul needs to be tall. It needs to be a tall building. And he says that it should be higher and taller than other buildings which are used for commercial or residential purpose.
It's difficult to do in London.
Really is. It really is.
I was just in Borough High Street today. You can see the Shard, which is pretty tall.
Pretty tall, yeah.
I have a hard time building a shul taller than that.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. How?
Hamster's taller. Hamster's taller. Than the Shard? Of course. Why is it
pretty
long?
What is? Hamster's.
So that shaila that you're actually saying, well, that's an interesting shaila. Do we take into consideration, so that the halacha that we're learning is that the shul needs to be a tall building. You've got a shul, and you've got a shop, and you've got a house where you live, shul needs to be taller. That's the halacha. Now the point that Mr. Berlin is asking is, what happens if the actual building, the height of the building, of the structure, is not very high, the shul is not very high, but happens to be built on a hill, and it's therefore higher than the shul. Does that help or not? Does that help or not? Interesting shaila. We'll get to that in Mitzvah or not tonight. So that I just want to share with you an interesting... It doesn't have to be that the places are there. We're talking about the height of the building. You can still daven in the... You don't need to daven in the...
The problem is you're not going to get zoning.
Pardon?
You're living in any civilization, there'll be zoning laws, and you can't just decide what you're going to build.
Good. Okay, that will be addressed as well, and obviously the answer is going to be close to what you're saying, but we'll address that. There's an exception, which is ulafuke bironiois. The exception is bironiois. What are that? What is that? Perish binyonim asum lenoi. Buildings which are just built for their beauty, like buildings which are just there. Not for residential purpose, not for commercial purpose, but just as a, for the, that's right.
Like, why does he fit into that? Because
absolutely.
It's built in a ridiculous pointed way. A lot of it can't be used for office.
Really?
Because it's built in such a ridiculous way.
Is that true? The Shard, yeah? Is that the Shard is built in a way that a lot of office...
The top six floors are just for viewing.
For viewing?
Yeah. Exactly. So that's Lanoi. That's a classic example.
Very good. Beautiful. That would be Lanoi. Yeah.
But if you go to like floors... Like it's 60 through to 70, they're still hotel rooms. They're still pretty high up.
Right, but I think that the question is about the purpose of the building. What the architect or the investors, what was their purpose of the building? Was it residential, was it commercial, or was it for beauty?
All three.
Primarily?
They've got office space, they've got everything going on.
Okay, so...
To attract premium customers, they're using each one to try and...
Okay. I hear that. So it's going to be very nice, Shaila, to identify what is it for. Binyonim ha'asulim noi, targum schirs, achemdo bironius shapiron, which is shapir, beauty. Umigdonim she'en mishtamshim bohem, and big towers which are not used. So any of those buildings you don't take into consideration at all. We're not considering them at all. We're not looking into them. But so that doesn't matter if they're any higher than a shul. It won't matter. Eiffel Tower, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Beautiful. Absolutely. Definitely. Yeah. Okay, so we'll be learning more on that in Mitzvah Shem. Let's just recap what we covered tonight. We started speaking about the obligation to build a Beis HaKnesses. We learned that Koifin Zeh Zeh, Livnois Beis HaKnesses, and also to build a Beis HaMedrash, and Shulchan Aruch also says to buy and purchase and acquire Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim. We learned also that when Mishnah Berurah says when it's 10 Yidin, you need to make sure there's a shul. We learned that what's the halacha with regards to schiras? Schiras, if they can't afford purchasing, at least they should rent. We spoke about what the fee structure should be. We learned also about splitting, when is it recommendable to split and when not. It's ideally the more shul is. It's fine to have additional shuls. He says that it's fine. If it's destroying the former shul, then it's not good, and don't do that. They should try to learn and get along together. If there's any rift and machloikas, then yes, they should split, and that's fine. We learned also with regards to the height of the shul. It needs to be the highest building of the city, excluding buildings which have been created lenoi. Those are not counted. And that's what we discussed tonight. And more on these interesting halachos next week. And may Hashem wish you all a good Shabbos.